realize we're already victorious. Look over at somebody and say, we already won. My Lord, we are not defeated. And I'm not going to keep sitting here time after time and serving in a defeated church. You might want to sit here and be defeated, but God's not going to leave somebody that's victorious in a place of defeat. He didn't leave Israel in Egypt, and if nobody wants to hear this preaching, he's not going to leave it here for much longer. If you don't want to grow in the anointing of God, he's not going to keep sending people to try to help you.
Amen.
That's why churches don't have piano players. That's why they don't have worship leaders. It's so dry. Have you ever tried to eat a handful of crackers? I dare you to go home and eat some crackers and try to whistle. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to make a mess. And let me tell you, when you come in and try to do everything your way and put your foot in your mouth, you're going to make a mess. We cannot come in and do this our way. I can't just come in and preferentially feel when it is time for me to do something, all right? I have got to learn and understand that from the very moment that I arrive to the last moment when I leave is God's time. Oh, I'm going to say it again. From the moment that I'm here to the moment that I leave, it is God's time. It is not here to please people. We're not here to worry about what other people think. We are here to give God reverence and glory and praise. The more that we're earthly, we might as well just eat all the crackers that we want and try to whistle Dixie. You ain't whistling nothing, buddy. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now. You want to come up? You want to minister the Word of God? Don't be eating crackers all week. If you're going to run a 5K, don't go to McDonald's every day. If you're going to go on a fast, don't buy 3 pecan pies and put them in the fridge. If you're going to change your life, if you want things to be better, guess what? You've got to make some adjustments. If there are things that are keeping you too busy from praying, you need to make an immediate change. If there are things that are keeping you from reading at least 2 to 3 verses a day, you need to change your schedule. If you are too busy to visit the lost, the sick, your loved ones, or somebody in need, you're too busy. The Lord spoke to me once and said, Jared, you've got to slow down. I said, what do you mean slow down? And he revealed to me that I was being too busy to help move and minister to other people's needs. And then all of a sudden I realized the more that I tended to the needs of others, the more that I was doing something heavenly for God. Because you see, you're going to come into contact with all kinds of unbelievers. You're going to run into atheists, people that are going to speak against your religion. The government has already abandoned religion. We were once founded under God, but no longer anymore. Government no longer backs religion. It no longer backs God. Schools no longer back God. Politicians, when put under the gun, no longer back God. When you're in public and somebody's talking to you, have you not even felt the pressure to not want to witness to them about how God has transformed your life? We're already being pushed in the corner as it is. The one thing that I can tell you is that you're not going to make a difference to anybody doing earthly stuff. I love going and having a good time. I like going and hanging out. I like going and doing places. But if your heart is not in the right place before you take the first step, you'll find trouble to enter your way before you ever get your feet off the ground. And I love more than anything to come and give people opportunity after opportunity to begin to improve their life. But friend, we've got to stand and do this together. The day is going to come when your loved ones may be put in the press, and you'll wonder, what could I have done differently to see them be set free? You might look at your situation and think, there's no way that I could pray. There's no way that I can praise him right now for how I feel. That's where Satan wants you. He wants you to doubt yourself. He doesn't want you to believe in the power of prayer. He doesn't want you to believe in the power of praise. He'll talk you out of every single time that you ever want to stand up and lift up your hand. He'll speak to you and get in your imagination and have you on something that's not even true and even in existence while something's trying to go on to stir you in the moment. And then the moment has come and passed. And we live in this remorse and regret of what we should have done. I'm telling you, there's people that get 20, 40 years to get saved. But friend, you don't have a promise of tomorrow. There are some of us that are keep holding on to God to have the Lord move in our children and their children's children. But if we're not praying, if we're not asking, if we're not keeping it important to God because it's important to us, then we don't see anything change. Right? One day, all of these things are going to be over. So you've got to realize that while you're here, you can't live your whole life letting the things that'll finally turn loose of you when you're gone keep you held down. Listen, you only get one life. You only get one opportunity. You only get one chance to come in and be who God has called you to do and who to be. I have learned that as I move forward, that He has not withheld anything from my life. He has not held back a single time. He has not forsaken me. He has not left me behind in a single moment. So why am I going to live the rest of my life doubting in who He is? Why am I going to let other people's opinions and their eyes and their stares and their lack of doing something keep me from doing something? I don't know if we're going to do it here, but my heart's desiring to reach out to our community. Ultimately, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is to reach out to the community. And if we're not reaching out to the community, then we've got sin in the camp. That's all I'm going to say. If we are not looking outward to reach people, then we're missing the purpose of why we are even sitting in this place tonight. You are supposed to be here to get stronger. You're supposed to be here to grow in your gifts and callings. You're supposed to be here to get stronger, to rebuke temptation when it comes out there. Some of the greatest preachers you know have fallen to what seems like the silliest of things. But you know what? We're all subject to fall. And without God as our protector, I'm telling you right now, without you praying every day to protect yourself, stuff's going to happen that never had to happen. Without you fasting and denying yourself of things every now and again, you're not going to feel the true power of God the way that He wants you to feel it. Without reading the Word of God and gaining an understanding for the Word of God, you'll never know about how many promises you already have to use and to reap. We know that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall perish, but not shall perish, but have everlasting life. But He also said He was going to pour out His Spirit on everyone. He said signs, wonders, and miracles would follow us. How many of you believe that a miracle's near you? How many of you know that you've got signs and wonders following in your life? When you talk, do people hear the voice of God? When you conduct your life in living, do people see the witness of Christ in you? Could they mistake the way you're behaving for Jesus Christ? Or do we get bitter? Do we divide amongst ourselves? Do we let two or three opinions keep hundreds and thousands from being delivered? This is my last thing, and I'm closing tonight, and it's the most important part. I've not said this before, but I'm going to say it now. Unless you put on your armor, you will perish on earth. The devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And you might want to be naive, but guess what? I'm not going to let you. Darkness is on the way. Life was not meant to get better while we live here. The scriptures tell us it is only but to get worse. But Jesus even told them, when you hear wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, natural disasters, when you heard of crisis, what did He say? Fear not. for I have overcome the world. That means that we have to stop being afraid. I don't care if it's being afraid to sleep at night. I don't care if it's being afraid of what is in store for tomorrow. God did not put in us the spirit of fear. We have got to stop serving God with fear. He wants to see confidence. To be steadfast, to be unmovable, is to be confident. When people hear you talk about God, do you encourage them by your confidence that you have? When we go out of here and are living our daily life, is your confidence in God being reflected? When people look in the reflection of your mirror, do they see God in you? When you look at yourself, do you see God in you? Because ultimately, if we are not going to be one that is for God, we're against Him. There are places everywhere you go that have signs on the door of multiple various denominations that have such a presence of evil overrunning and overwhelming them that they have not seen anything happen of God in years. All right? And here's the part I've never said before, but God showed me this. Unless we're going to fight for it, we will not make it. All right? Unless we fight for it, we're not going to make it. Are you talking about our lives and our salvation? No. I'm talking about what we're trying to do in this place. All right? You got to understand, when you come in, you need to serve Him with purpose. It's time to stop hiding. It's time to stop to doubt ourselves. It's time to actually know in whom we believe, know in what we're called to do, and come in and do what we're called to do. Because the Word said that when we all would come in one assembly, in union together, in unity, that there would be multitudes that would be saved. My heart is not to stay here service after service and bore you to death. My heart is for the lost. And I have played patty cake as long as I'm going to play it. And I'm ready to go forward in the ministry. And my petition to you is, let's get beyond our differences. Let's get beyond the cliques. Let's get it beyond just one or two people calling the shots. And let's truly take a step forward in such a way that when we come together, that there's nothing that could come, no weapon formed against you can prosper. Because if we can't do it here, guess what? He'll do it in a living room somewhere. And if they won't come together in a living room, He'd even move in animals to get His glory. And if He can't do it in 20,000, guess what? He'll do it in 200 to defeat 20,000. And if you think that we don't have enough in here, well, guess what? You're shortchanging everybody around you. When you come in and have no confidence in your church, you're shortchanging God. When you come in and don't give it your best, you know what you're basically doing? You're pulling the chair out from somebody else that's trying, and they fall flat on their back wondering if they should have ever done anything at all, when in fact we should be the chair that holds them up that says, I support you. And as long as I'm here, guess what? I'm praying for you. I'm studying. I'm digging in more and more to try to find where the enemy is, to find his seed in people's lives, and to have enough faith in my life that when I speak to those things that it go. But I'm looking for more. I'm looking for recruits. I'm looking for some people to come in such a confidence that I've got to get out of your way so you can come in and do what God has called you to do. Prophesying is at an all-time low in the house of God. And even if people actually get to prophesy, they're usually moved off to the side and it's no longer reverenced or paid attention to. Speaking in gifts and callings, people almost see like an add-on to a car, but it is not an add-on, it's the evidence of God in you. There are people that doubt the moving and the radicalism of God's Spirit and anointing, so they sit back to try to set a new culture of, I don't need this, you go ahead, I'm good. But I'm here to tell you that if he could shake the very foundations of a prison, he can shake your foundation too. My Lord and my God, if you think that you're unmovable, you just wait till you go through enough and see how much that you need God. If you think that your situation is not going to get any worse, you just wait till you suffer a little bit and see where you call back to. But what I'm trying to tell you right now has nothing to do but before the trouble comes. It has everything to do within the moment that you're in, because the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you tonight, stop being who you were, stop being the things that the enemy wants you to be, and to become more heavenly and to execute the heavenly things of the Holy Spirit. Because until we do, we're missing out on his prosperity, we're missing out on sound mind, we're missing out on good health, and more than that, people are going out lost and rotting in hell due to us dropping the ball. I didn't come in prepared with all of this, but I'm here to tell you, God sure did. He's trying to shake us up. Because I'm telling you right now, it's hit Chattanooga. How close does it have to hit home before you hit your knees? How close does it have to come before you finally get down? How long are we going to wait before we take seriously what God is telling us? I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to see you take your own life. I don't want to see you give up on everything that you are dreaming for. But you've got to understand, in order to get divine blessings, you've got to walk heavenly. You've got to live righteously. And you've got to show God and prove to him that you're more than able to do it. When I was a young man, this is kind of a funny story. I used to love to play basketball, and for a long time I was able to be on teams. I didn't get to play too much. I was more of a bench warmer and the hand clapper, the high fiver, the guy that does the celebration dance when they make the three-point shot. And there was a year when we were trying to do tryouts, and I was trying to run and prove myself. And then when I got through with the tryout, he said, I can't take you. You're just too slow. There's going to come a point where the power of darkness is going to be so overwhelming that unless we're staying ahead of the tide and being prepared for what is ahead of us, we're going to be overwhelmed and not even know where to turn. This might be beyond some people's realm, but I'm glad to expand your horizons, because the realm that I'm talking about, the heavenly realms we're talking about, means that you begin to speak with authority that God has already given you to speak. We've got to learn to say to our body, you shall be well, and believe in ourselves. We've got to learn to speak to over our church when we pray and say, I believe it's prospering. We've got an up-and-coming revival coming soon. And I'll tell you, you won't keep an evangelist for a week if you're not going to come in and serve the Lord. You better be ready for the time that God would want to send souls. I'm just here to keep you on fire all in the meanwhile. You've got to understand something, though. If you are not fighting, you're losing the battle. So go ahead and stand with us. I'm going to close right there. Now see, my mother is here and her sister. And I'm going to shamelessly put them on the spot and have them come and sing us a song. And while they're coming, I'll ask you this question. Do you have that relationship with Christ that if you lost it all, you'd still be content? Do you have a relationship with Christ that if you died tomorrow, you wouldn't have to worry about what you left behind? Do you worry about what is coming? Do you worry about what's in store? Are the fears greater than your faith? If you need help, if you need God, if you need salvation, he said to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, that by his stripes and his suffering that you are forgiven, set free, and healed. And if you receive that and accept him as Lord in your life, guess what? You'll receive salvation. And by that salvation, you'll no longer have to worry about these earthly things. But you can begin to put your trust in a more divine power, a more divine source. Listen, you might think that I look nice and I sound nice and that I'm kind of crazy. You might think all these things, but listen, I was just another drug addict ready to die. But God saved me. I was just another nobody that everybody was ready to give up on, and God said, not him. Not now. If you do not know him, you need to know him. And as they sing, my prayer is that you get past the worry of taking your first step. Appreciate you giving your attention, and well, you're giving God your attention. And but I appreciate you coming, and come on. Amen. Come on, sissy. Well, let's pray for you.